This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning. Yes, we're here. It's the 12th of February and Gareth Cliff gets back tomorrow.
Yay.
Enthusiasm washing through the studio this morning. Yeah, so Gareth, I think he's currently just taken a tranquilizer on the plane.
Oh.
So he'll not be much attention, not much company right now if you sit next to him on the plane.
You've got to take an additional 24 hours just to reset the body clock after traveling.
Yeah, especially his age too.
Yes, definitely. Oh.
But also at his age, you know, going and sleeping the whole way, doesn't he get like deep vein thrombosis and stuff? You have to worry about the circulation on long flights?
I don't know. Is this what you people have to worry about?
No.
Gareth's people. Ben and I still have some time to go.
Exactly.
There we go, you little young, fragile things.
Yeah. So it is a Monday, and we've got a full show as per usual. We've got Rich Mulholland with a reality check. We've got Justice Malala on the burning platform, brought to you by Nando's. And then Gareth has an interview with Sophie Ndaba at 8 o'clock. So We are just jam-packed. And Zuma has not stepped down yet.
Oh,
no.
Well.
Yeah.
That horrible, horrible, cretinous human being is still exactly where he wants to be, which is out of jail. Some might say in power, but ultimately out of jail is still what he is. Because the moment he is no longer the president, then, well, yeah, that's when the shackles start to kind of start ringing and he's more fallible, more vulnerable. And that is why he's holding on to this, as someone suggested there. He's sticking together like a piece of turd on wool.
Yeah, it's a good thing that justice is coming in today, because with all the rumblings that were caused last week when it was first speculated that he could be on his way out.
According to Prophet Malema?
According to Prophet Malema, according to a whole lot of people, still nothing has happened, so... What's taking so long?
Yeah, so you've got yourself a great show this morning in the company of us at cliffcentral.com. If you want to get in touch with the show on the live angle, well, on WeChat, you can just get onto the Cliff Central official account there and you can message us. And then on the WhatsApp, 079-748-2090. I do try to read all the messages, but sometimes it gets quite difficult because there's lots. Or cliffcentral.com on Twitter as well. That will all come onto this magical screen in front of me, which I battle to look at.
It's a magical screen.
It's like air traffic control, this, yeah? Everything just comes into one screen, and then there's two other screens. And put it this way, I'm excited to get back to being the sports guy tomorrow.
But working on two screens, this should be a walk in the park for you.
Yeah, but that's different, because it's like all visual stuff. Here, it's just words. See, I'm a two-screen visual. This is a tri-screen number word conundrum.
Oh, jeez. But you've been handling it, Ben. So thank you.
Thank you, Sierra.
Yes.
Yes, we did. We handled it on a Friday. Where were you? And were you dying?
I'm always dying in situations like this.
Because my mother and I rocked up here like professionals and nothing. Not a peep out of you. We thought maybe you'd been kidnapped.
No, and...
I thought you'd been murdered. She was like, ah, don't worry.
How are you lax about this?
Sierra, are you here now?
I am here now.
So then what would have been the point?
If you do not hear from me, it is so out of character to not hear from me
at all. Okay, so why didn't you get in contact with us is the better question here.
Oh, because I was dead.
No, you weren't.
I was practically dead, no. So
okay, practically.
On a very serious note,
But you weren't, though.
It's not like me at all to just up and leave. So I had gone out on Thursday night, and I was fine, and I went back home, and I was like, okay, yeah.
Isn't it funny, Amav? All these Friday stories where things go badly, it starts off, so I went out on Thursday
night. It's not even in that way, because I was home at a reasonable hour, and I got home, and I was in bed, and I was cool. Round about wee hours of the morning, I woke up, and I was like, okay, this is pregnancy 2.0.
Of course it is.
Please don't make fun of my symptoms. Thank you. Goodbye. I was... No, but I just started vomiting and I was really feeling all ill. And that went on for a couple of hours. I convinced myself, let me just nap a bit and I'll be fine. That nap turned out to be oversleeping as well. I still woke up feeling horrible. So I went to the doctor, and my thing is always not even go to the doctor, go to the ER. It's not even being dramatic at all. But when you feel that sick, you're like, not going to take chances. So it was just dehydration and some sort of poisoning that I got.
So you were able to go to the doctor but not send a message?
I sent a message in the morning.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
When?
Bye in the group.
Like 11 o'clock.
Guys, are you not just grateful that I am alive? I feel like none of you took me seriously in this situation. Anyway,
no, I mean, it's...
So all I know is it's quite interesting to go to the ER on like a Friday morning, because you get to see the weirdest and the brightest of characters. Because as well, I was sitting across a housewife who had sliced her finger. And I really thought at first...
What the hell is she doing handling a knife? She should know better than to step into the...
But it was probably like a small, innocent knife.
But that's the thing. I was sitting there with a friend of mine who had accompanied me to the ER. And so we looked at her and she was holding her finger. And I looked over at my friend and I thought, she probably was in the kitchen doing something mindless and she sliced her finger. And I swear...
Something mindless. You sexist, chauvinist
pig. No. It was really like something mindless. And I swear, Struce Bob, when she was telling the medical team what had happened, she was like, in the kitchen in the morning, she was trying to make a salad.
This is what happens when you and your two brain cells try to do something that you are incapable of doing.
I was like,
a housewife making food for herself.
Said, these are my people, though. These are my people. I need to be chopping something in the morning and I have to nick my finger and I'm worried. You know, then I also need to be barefoot and pregnant with my complaints. But anyway. I was feeling much, much better by the end of the day. But I was excited to just sort of tell you certain things, like what happened on Thursday. Now, Thursday, I was all dressed up fancy.
Yes, you were dressed up fancy. Then you went to some sort of Nelson Mandela something.
Some sort of? Excuse me? Okay. But Nelson Mandela, of course, would have turned 100 years old. And so they had started with celebrations. The foundation had started with celebrations kicking off last week. And we got invited to attend an event at the Nelson Mandela Foundation. Now, already, it might be a bit of a drastic example to use, but I liken being... you know, invited to the foundation. Like when you receive an invitation to the White House, you sort of, your back needs to be straighter. You need to have an extra pep in your step. So I went.
You need to put in the effort.
Absolutely. So you go there and I'm already ready to like bow or curtsy. I feel like you're meant to do something official in that way. The Mandela family was there as well. Selo Hatang, who we've had in studio a few times, the CEO of the Nelson Mandela Foundation, was there. And we're all basically summoned into this massive room because they're launching a rose. There's now a rose named after Nelson Mandela with his whole embodiment of love and turning 100 years old this year. And there were these two little seats right up in front that were left empty. So I thought, what is going on? Like, everyone is already filled up here. No. Like, the Mandela family's already here. Mam Sibongile Khumalo, who's an amazing legendary singer in South Africa, was already sitting down. We're like, oh, we wonder who these people are. And it was meant to start at a certain time, and we had already gone past that, and now we see security come in. We're like, okay, folks, this is a game changer. Who's about to walk in?
I hope it wasn't...
I
would have left such a bad taste in everyone's mouth.
I also considered that, but I'm like, who would the two be? Because at least, you know, he has a bigger entourage than that. And so there we go. Like, the Archbishop Tutu came in, and his wife Leah as well.
Aww.
And it was so cute that, firstly, there's something about seeing them, and it's, you could be as corny as ever, or you can say you are not emotional, but seeing those two people who've done so much for this country as just amazing human beings, you feel some type of way. And especially because, I don't know, for me, I was at the foundation, at the Nelson Mandela Foundation, and the tutus walk in. It was a little goosebump moment. And Leah Tutu is actually in a wheelchair now, and the arch being the arch, and her husband was wheeling her in. I was like, oh my gosh, I could die, right now. They sit down, this choir comes up to perform with Mam Sibongile Khumalo. They're singing Amazing Grace. That took me to church. Like, everyone started crying in the crowd. And then the arch and his wife started standing up and dancing. I thought it was the cutest thing. It was one of those moments that you'll tell at least three times at a dinner party moving on forward. So, like, it was amazing.
Rolled in a wheelchair, but then just started busting a move.
Hello.
Wow.
They got taken over by the spirit. They were just having an amazing, amazing time there. So, yeah, that just made my weekend all the more better. So I couldn't exactly care if I was dying on Friday. I was like, well, good innings, yeah. You saw the arch and his wife dance at the Nelson Mandela Foundation.
Yeah, that's all that counts. Spend them a bali can go fend for themselves.
Yeah, you know, I'll die. That's it. That's my life well lived.
Yeah. Good for you, Sia.
Well, thanks, yeah. Good story. Mm. Mabs, how was your weekend?
It was a rather tame weekend. I mean, there was a bit of family stuff involved. Uh-huh. And then I took my car in on Friday, dropped it off at the service station like I was told to.
Yeah.
Then they gave me all kinds of feedback in the progress report about how I'm allegedly washing my engine. And I was like, no, that isn't something that I would do. And they said, well, maybe when you take it into the car wash. And I said, no. Like,
what does that mean?
No, because my ABS light and the handbrake light refuses to go off. So I took it in on Friday. Then I fetched it Friday afternoon and they told me, listen, we suspect that there's you are washing your car engine with like a high pressure nozzle.
Mm-hmm.
And what that's done, it's interrupted the connection between the light and the, like, it
so
got.
They were lying basically.
It got technical. So I said, well, that doesn't make any sense to me, but okay. This morning, what's happening? The lights are back on again. So I have to phone these people today and say, listen.
These guys couldn't work it out. They thought, well, what does she know? Let's just come up with engine washing.
Yes.
In the list of things that women won't understand.
Yes. And I said, no, that's absolutely incorrect. But then I took the car home on Friday. It was fine. This morning, we're back at square one. It's just annoying.
You hope that when you go into situations where you know no better, that people will actually be, they'll have your best intentions at heart.
No.
Because they're out to make a quick buck as well.
Yes.
So you're sitting there, you have no cooking clue. They can give you any sort of technical jargon and you'll go with it.
If they feel like getting rid of me ASAP, then that's exactly what they'll do. They'll get rid of you ASAP and then it's on to the next one.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's what these people do. They're famous for it. But speaking of automotiving, I emcee this really cool event on Friday.
Yes, you
so
did.
So this was like really smart people who offer products and services so that people don't have to go through that rigmarole. That was cool, huh? It was very cool. There was like a ton of people. The lights were so bright, I didn't see any of them.
Oh.
That's
basically
convenient.
Just got on stage and, yeah, did some talking. And it was quite a cool job because that was almost 5 years to the weekend where I asked Daniela for her phone number.
Aww.
And we had like a bit of a reminisce. And I had a Jager bomb on Friday.
Ooh.
And I felt horrendous pretty much all of Saturday.
Now you're moving into Gareth's people's group.
Wait, just from one Jager bomb,
you're making yourself sound older than you are.
No, firstly, stupid drink. Absolutely stupid. You're taking a digestive and you're taking an energy drink.
It is revolting, actually.
Horrible.
It's disgusting.
But it was the smell of my 20s. So... Like, the big MD of this company who is, like, the brand launch, he orders, like, a tray of Jager Bombs. So I'm standing out there, I'm chatting. Obviously, I'm going to have one. Mm. Just met the guy, and it's a really cool function. I actually really enjoyed myself. I have a couple of tequilas that's kind of, like, my limit because I just don't like shooters.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't go with me anymore. I've come to realize this. Mm. Jager Bomb, how hard can it be? Nostalgia comes flowing back after just smelling it because it always reminded me of this going to this club across the road here before it was Tiger. It was something else. Used to go there on like Thursdays. I don't know, but like from 8 until 9, it was 2-for-1. Oh. And my friends and I used to get so blitzed from 8 until 9.
Yeah.
That by like 11, I mean, I don't know. I think we're all dancing to Mendoza.
Mendoza was also playing.
So I had this Jager bomb and then I had a few beers and Saturday morning I woke up and I felt like 50. Just horrid. And like, oh, it was just dreadful. It was dreadful. And I had to literally get myself back on the horse and drink a fair amount of gin on Saturday to kind of feel more human again.
Yes, that's exactly the way that science has broken it down.
Well, what's to understand? You don't want a hangover, so you get drunk again.
Yes, yeah.
But ultimately, you will have to get sober at a point.
Yeah, yeah, but
but you're just not dealing with it now. So
I didn't want my Saturday to be Jaeger messed up.
Yeah, because really, do you rather want to spend your Saturday with a hangover or being drunk again? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so then you just deal with a hangover on Sunday?
Yeah, which I tried, and then it went badly because then Daniela went to the airport at like 7 because she's got a Cape Town trip.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's basically like stared death into my face from like 7 till 8 because she wanted breakfast, and I just had to get up and do some work.
Oh my goodness.
It was a good weekend though. It was like one of those really nice weekends where you realize you got really nice people around you and your life's actually pretty fun, pretty happy, and it was cool. The cricket was interesting. Got to watch that.
Oh yeah, I made the mistake of also popping by Illovo on Saturday, and I saw every single Tom, Dick and Jabulani, because that's near the stadium.
Yeah, all dressed up in pink.
Oh.
Which was a mystery to you because you never listened to my sport.
Well, after...
You're like, what are these guys doing? Wait until I tell Ben. He's going to be so interested by this. Everyone's here watching this cricket match.
I did eventually sort of put 2 and 2 together and I got 7. Yeah, some random people in like a full body latex costume. I'm like, my guy, you must be sweating in places you didn't even know existed. I saw Mike Sharman.
Sharman was in one of those
in latexes. A massive flamingo. What is it called? Like a
flamingo tube, those lilo
pool thingies.
Yeah.
And you cannot be understated or modest when you're walking around with something like that.
Yeah, but Mike's shown his cock to pretty much everyone who's ever known him.
And also his ass crack. He's shown his cock and his ass crack. There really isn't much left for us to see there.
He's shown his middle area to anybody. So yeah. He's got nothing to really hide or feel bad about.
I mean, he might as well be a porn star at this stage. We've seen it all.
Oh, gross.
What?
Gross. But I tell you what I did do, what I did manage to do in my hangover state, my carryover hangover.
Carryover hangover
on Sunday was, I've been watching that Blue Planet 2.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good. I love that stuff, obviously, because I love nature. And it's just such a great documentary. So the first couple of episodes are, I mean, like, they're just rock solid. They feature South Africa on the second episode, the first episode with all the dolphins, and then goes into this tropical episode. Wow. Just everything about this is just so wow. And of course, what makes the show so good is that they always had that 10 minutes at the end to show you how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like every magic show, you spend the entire episode going, how did you do it?
Yeah.
And then you got to watch the thing at the end. And like, these guys have like, it's, you know, we spoke last week about Secret Agent Camp and all the different gadgets and stuff.
Yeah.
These guys basically are the same with that kind of stuff. They've got these underwater like jet skis and these other things, and then they got these suction cameras that they actually put on whatever. So there was like these orcas that were just cruising around,
mm-hmm.
and as they surface for air, they just coil one of these suction cup things on, and then you've got like this first orca kind of impression going through the water.
It's crazy.
Oh, it was so good. But there was this one scene that I thought was very interesting because they went down to the depths of the ocean. So they had this thing like you go look for the Titanic with. It's like this big lump of steel that goes down for like kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get to the bottom of the ocean, firstly, the things you see down there are freaky as all hell. It's like an episode of Rick and Morty down there.
Oh.
And then what you do is all this organic matter drops to the earth, to the surface of the ocean. And then that creates methane. So basically, the surface of the ocean is just farting the whole time.
Oh.
All this methane's going up. But then what that does eventually is that it goes further down, it creates like this layer of brine.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's like, you know, what brine is. So these eels are cruising around looking for fish and all kinds of things around this brine area, because then you get like these different leaves and stuff. And then some of them try to go into the brine to find the fish, but then they get toxic shock.
Mm.
And the eels start tying themselves together like pretzels because they're in toxic shock.
Okay.
So they're fighting.
No, I don't know if this is...
I mean, I don't know if it's just because I was so hungover or whatever it was, but this was the most fascinating
thing.
You were
glued to that
This was possibly
screen.
The most fascinating thing I had seen in like a decade. And I was staring at this. It was amazing.
Mm.
These eels are fighting themselves because of toxic shock.
really, if you're the sort of person who as well is intrigued the same way Ben is, you know, a few weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we had Jonathan Smith in the studio.
Yeah, I'm listening to the interview again this week. Because
one of the producers of that series. Because the way he goes in depth
just
with
recently,
it.
Just recently, there was a story.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
It really was. Yeah, it really was. So it was a pretty good weekend all around. And then episode 2 of the vlog's out. Okay. You guys are in it again.
Sorry. Isn't there some kind of release form that we should be asked to sign? I don't know. I feel like I'm going to get my lawyer on this because I don't understand
it was
why.
It was like 1 second. You know, like when you're in the studio talking about vlogging and that GoPro is on?
1 second too many.
See, it was not nearly as big as your input on episode 1.
See, I have a Mariah Carey clause in my life.
What's that?
You know, Mariah Carey has a certain clause in her life, like you can't photograph her when she's in a lift because lift lighting is bad.
Wow. And if you could barely make you guys out. It wasn't that big of a deal.
I still need to look good. So next time, can you please just have our approval?
Yeah.
Maybe you just need to filter it or something.
I'll sign a release thing out here. So this is how this episode starts. So this is episode 2 of the Bounce vlog.
Oh.
Hey, meowsers. It's actually really cool. I get to spend time with that world long drive guy on the driving range. So there's great slow-mos. There's Jason Goliath. Jason Goliath plays golf.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, he's really, really funny. We get an in-depth, in-studio kind of view on things. And then there's a couple other things. So follow the Bounce on YouTube. Yes, I am plugging it.
Yeah, but definitely.
I'm plugging it hard. Get on there.
Now, when you were playing around with Jason Goliath, who was...
Why are you making it sound like that?
What?
Okay.
No, but that's what happened.
Uh-huh.
So I want to know who then takes over the camera work for you, Ben. Do you have an assistant
Not at all. See, what I do, this is the whole process of this vlog. It's meant to be through the eyes of my week.
Mm.
So it's not me presenting like, hi, this week... I'm not top billing it. It's like a first person.
Goodness.
It's a first person me account of my sporting life. So that's why I started it, so that I actually work harder and really document all the things I do, rather than just doing a few things here and there.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's that. That was quite spontaneous and very impactful.
Mm.
Right. So I did discover something else over the weekend, which I have to share with you. And it's almost like a dirty little secret because I don't think I'm going to quit it just yet.
Uh-oh.
Also on YouTube, because, you know, I spend most of my time. If I'm watching something, I'm watching YouTube. Like last night, I had some dinner.
Mm-hmm.
It was 7 o'clock. And I thought to myself, hey, Carte Blanche is on. I haven't seen Carte Blanche in about a decade.
Yeah.
So I watched the first 5 minutes or so, and then I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah, no.
I went into YouTube and I started watching things that were very interesting.
Yeah.
Video after video, I watched for like a whole hour. There's so much to find. I'm subscribed to so many different people.
Mm-hmm.
But then, out of nowhere, it was like a sign up above the O-double-N channel.
The Oprah Winfrey Network.
What a channel.
Have your eyes been opened, Ben?
Guys, I'm not saying this
and
because
open
I'm...
with a capital O.
I'm not saying this to indulge Sia, but this is a brilliant channel. Oprah.
Here we go.
We all know Oprah.
Yes.
She has been...
The O of O?
She has been a talk show goddess for how long?
Decades. Okay. Since the 80s, I think.
I'm right. Here for this party.
Then let's take a step from what Mubs just said. Decades since the 80s, the O-double-N YouTube network is nothing but 3-4-minute clips of all her decadeness.
Oh, okay.
And
so
she has interviewed everybody.
Yes.
Everybody. Like Michael Jackson. But the great thing about the O-double-N is that you see early Oprah when she had the big hair.
Yeah.
But like the hair was... It was huge and she had the shoulder pads.
Mm.
And early Oprah was quite hard. She wasn't like the sort of more refined... calculated. Early Oprah was a bit more like Ricky Lake. She would go for the kill.
So she was less about finding your own truth and more about I'm a journalist here to do a job.
And she didn't give a fuck about what's under your chair back in those days. She wanted stuff. She wanted to get stuff. So before we get to the news, I've got to play this amazing clip that she basically sat Michael Jackson down and they talked skin.
Mm.
Just recently, there was a story, and I know one of your attorneys held a news conference. There was a story about you wanting to have a little white boy play you in a Pepsi commercial.
That is so stupid. That's the most ridiculous, horrifying story I've ever heard. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why? Number one, it's my face as a child mm-hmm. in the commercial. Mm-hmm. Me, when I was little.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I want a white child to play me? I'm a black American. I'm proud to be a black American. I am proud of my race. I am proud of who I am. I have a lot of pride in who I am and dignity. That's like you wanting an Oriental person to play you as a child. Does that make sense?
No.
So please, people, stop believing these horrifying
stories. Then let's go to the thing that is most discussed about you, I think, is the fact that the color of your skin is obviously different than it was when you were younger.
Yes.
And so I think it has caused a great deal of speculation and controversy as to what you have done or are doing. Are you bleaching your skin? And is your skin lighter because you don't like being black?
Okay, number one, there, as I know of, mm-hmm. there is no such thing as skin bleaching.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen it. I don't know what it is.
Well, they used to have those products growing up. I used to hear, always use bleach and glow, but you'd have to have about 300,000 gallons.
Right. Okay, number one, this is the situation. Yes. I have a skin disorder that destroys the pigmentation of the skin. It's something that I cannot help. Okay, but when people make up stories that I don't want to be who I am, it hurts me.
So it is?
It's a problem for me, okay? I can't control it, mm-hmm. okay? But what about all the millions of people? Let's reverse it.
Okay.
What about all the millions of people who sit out in the sun mm-hmm. to become darker, to become other than what they are?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody says nothing about that.
So when did this start? When did the color of your skin start to change?
Oh boy, sometime after Thriller,
mm-hmm.
around Off the Wall Thriller.
What did you think? I mean,
it's in my family. My father said it's on his side. I can't control it. I don't understand. It makes me very sad. I don't want to go into my medical history because mm-hmm. that's something that's private, but mm-hmm. that's the situation here. So mm-hmm. please, when people see
I just want to get this straight. Yeah. You are not taking anything to change the color of your skin.
Oh, God, no.
You did not purposely.
We're trying to control it, and using makeup mm-hmm. evens it out because it makes blotches on the skin, and I have to even out my skin. Uh-huh. But you know what's funny? Why is that so important? Mm-hmm. You know, that's not important to me. I'm a great fan of art. I love Michelangelo.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a chance to talk to him or read about him, I would want to know about what inspired him to become who he is, the anatomy of his craftsmanship, not about who he went out with last night, or why he decided to sit out in the sun so long. What's mm-hmm. wrong with, I mean, that's what's important to me.
Well, 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 that interview visually, as much as it is in the audio sense, is quite something. Because Michael is, I've never seen him speak so animatedly before. Obviously, he's sitting with Oprah,
mm-hmm.
gets the best out. But his nose, I couldn't get past staring at his nose.
Mm.
It is so sharp.
Yeah. Look, do you remember what was it that Quincy said in that interview that everybody's still reacting to? He said that Michael, just to sum it up, Michael had big issues about his appearance.
Sure.
So the man had demons.
And if we had to be honest, that was in the 80s. So that's when Michael looked better. Before, you know, his nose started doing some funny things. Remember the trial? And all anyone could focus on apart from the trial was his nose.
So this interview was actually 1993.
Mm.
But didn't you love the part where he says, oh yeah, this is on my father's side.
Yeah.
So Joe Jackson.
Yeah, no.
Hi, Michael.
Joe Jackson has relatives that are also as pale as a sheet. Whatever. So I've got some other great clips. We probably won't have time for them today. I'll give them to Gareth, so therefore you'll never hear them. Of the OWN. It is such a network. It really is. There was this really great thing, and actually maybe we can find some time in the second hour, but it was these rock star preachers.
Mm-hmm.
So then what Oprah does back in the day, look at me, I'm loving this. What Oprah does back in the day is that they're...
It's okay.
It's so good. There are these TV preachers who then have their children mimicking what they do. So what they're doing is that they're having these child evangelists.
Of
course. So Oprah gets them on to ask them, do they actually know what they're preaching? And then a whole bunch of other people with big hair and shoulder pads.
Yeah.
This whole shouting match starts to happen. Then this kid starts like preaching. And they're like, okay, cool. What does it mean? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's absolute gold. It's absolute gold.
I swear. I rewatched Oprah's interview with Tom Cruise last week. And that's Tom Cruise jumping on the couch, acting crazy. It's still an entertaining, cringeworthy fest.
You know what? If you think about it, actually, Oprah has actually survived quite a lot of things. Do you remember in the late 90s, in the middle of that whole mad cow disease?
Yeah.
And because she had been one of the first people to break the story and to talk about the story, all these Texas ranchers decided to take her to court and to sue her. Because they said that, you know, she had she was the one that had caused the pandemic.
Well, yeah. That's when you know you're powerful, because the industry did go down after she said something. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we need to get to the five things you need to know, other than the fact that you should give the OWN network on YouTube a bit of a go.
Sure. Why not?
What do we got?
Another day, another meeting, it would seem, for the African National Congress, NEC, as they prepare to hold its urgent Special National Executive Committee meeting today. It's a lot of words. The party's president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has promised the gathering will finalize talks around Ubabaga Duduzani's future. This is after Ramaphosa addressed supporters in Cape Town yesterday while launching centennial celebrations in honor of the late Nelson Mandela. So I'm pretty sure we can ask Justice what is anticipated to go down in today's meeting. Again, as you know, another day, another meeting. Seems that's all that happens within the ruling parties.
Yep, because we all know
agenda, it's all about meetings.
And we all know he's got the most staying power, as in he is the biggest rock in the room.
There you go. All right. And then police have warned of an increase in robberies of jewelry shops or homes, keeping large amounts of jewelry. This is now in Durban after a shootout ensued yesterday on one of the highways in a store heist. This happened yesterday when police acted swiftly and they apprehended six suspected robbers after the heist at a jewelry shop at the Phoenix Plaza. Two of the suspects were injured when they were shot by police during a high-speed chase, and then three others remain at large. In total, nine suspects had entered the shop on Sunday afternoon. They assaulted staff before robbing them, and it is estimated that the loot that they made off with is in the hundreds of thousands of rand. But yeah, apparently a spate of these kinds of robberies in parts of Durban. So police just, you know, issuing a warning there, as I suppose they are expected to. And then a Russian plane carrying 71 people has crashed near Moscow shortly after takeoff on Sunday afternoon, all on board being killed in that incident. Flight 703, operated by the Russian regional carrier Saratov Airlines, it was carrying 65 passengers and 6 crew members. The plane went down near one of the villages, and there were no survivors, unfortunately. Moscow's regional transportation prosecutor general confirming that the cause of the crash was not immediately clear, but that it went down shortly after takeoff.
Yeah, well, they're not known for their most modern of planes, the Russians, unfortunately.
You know, I caught bits of, I think it's the reboot of The Mummy with now Tom Cruise in it. It was playing last night on one of the channels.
Tom Cruise in The Mummy?
Yeah, it's like a reboot. Mm. I can't even remember what the movie is called because I literally watched like 8 minutes of it. But in any case, a plane going down is simulated in this. It has, like, the way that it was filmed and the, you know, the fact that they tried to make it as realistic as possible in terms of what it would look like inside a plane when it's going down, when it's nosediving. It's just one of the scariest things that I imagine anybody could ever find themselves in. And then you hear a story about how, you know, a flight like this, with all people on board, not a single survivor.
So your last moments on Earth are just hearing gut-wrenching screams.
Jeepers. Screams, and like if the middle is busy coming apart, or if, I don't know. It's just...
And then the final crash, because when you go to those amusement parks and you go on those hair-raising rides, you know you're not going to die. So it's kind of fun, although you are scared. When a plane goes down, that's it. That's kind of, yeah.
And there's very little that you can do. I mean, you know, even if you're wired to be a survivor, there's actually very little that you could do in a situation like that. You're trapped in the sky, yep, and you're coming crashing down at intense speeds. Now, the state of New York have filed a lawsuit against Harvey Weinstein, his brother, and their production company for egregious violations of civil rights, human rights, and business laws.
Ah, so now we get legal.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, if the state has filed this lawsuit, they were probably just behind the scenes crossing their T's, dotting their I's, making sure that they have sufficient evidence before coming forward, which is, you know, which is now. The suit comes 4 months after the Hollywood mogul's career ended in disgrace over those allegations of sexual harassment, assault, and rape leveled against the producer by more than 100 women. At one point, London was also reporting that they are busy building up a case against Harvey Weinstein to charge him with all sorts of things. So it would seem the state of New York getting in there first. And yeah, Harvey, the brother, his company, they're going to have to face some other kind of penalty, even if it's just a financial penalty, it would seem.
You know, well, when it should become penal, just chop the cocks off.
Hey, I'm not opposed to that at all.
When you're down and out, and as I was spending some time over the weekend and I was watching a few channels here and there, and I stumbled upon a movie, and in the first opening seconds, you see the Weinstein Company produced by Harvey Weinstein. There's a little shiver that goes down your spine the weirdest way. A little monster.
Yeah. Well, if you thought reality television was dead, not just yet, because Victoria Beckham is reportedly in talks for a new reality show.
She's having a busy month.
She's kind of having a revival, it would seem. The 43-year-old fashion designer is said to be in negotiations with E! Entertainment for a fly-on-the-wall show that would open the doors on the life that she has with husband David, as well as their 4 children. Apparently, when Victoria first landed in America, they tried this reality TV show thing with her, but it wasn't such a big success.
I remember I watched it.
I didn't even know that it was
like a 3-part series.
Yes, it was called Coming to America. Okay,
original title.
Back in 2007, but it didn't do so well in the ratings. So, yeah, maybe, maybe not. But apparently, she's in talks to have another reality TV show. And those are the 5 things that you need to know.
All right. And there were still some mutterings around that Soul Spice Girls reunion thing. Look, I think they should just go on the OWN, have 5 minutes, screw the singing, just get Oprah to ask me a couple of questions and be done with it.
Okay.
All right. Sounds good to me. In your cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin is trying to come back up. It's currently on $8,481. Ethereum, well, Ethereum's like that kid who just follows around the other kid. So whatever Bitcoin's doing kind of mimics a bit. That's $850. Ripple's up to past the dollar. Litecoin on $155. And Bitcoin Cash is rolling on $1,265. If you're in the game, there it is. We must get into the sport. It was a good weekend of sport. And as of tomorrow, we'll have the sporting bet music back and the intro music. I know it's been a big deal. We've received emails. We've received messages. People really miss it.
I think you also received a death threat, didn't you, Ben?
Yeah, but it's all the same. It's all the same. I'm a survivor, so I'm not really fussed. So yeah, you can carry on. That'll all come back tomorrow because Gareth will be back with his computer with a lot more stuff than my computer has. And that's going to sound like a strange excuse. So I'm going to move right on. The big cricket match for the weekend was the pink ODI, and, well, India were absolutely hammering South Africa again. It was just 178 for one. It was Dhoni. Sorry, not Dhoni. It was Kohli, and it was Darwin, and our bowlers were just going, oh, okay, this again. And then, well, Kohli got out. Then there was a lightning display, which is quite something. So they had to go off. And as they came back out, well, India kind of lost the ability to bat. Darwin threw his wicket away for 109. Rahane offered bugger all. Some guy called Iyer was sort of there. And then it was just crap from India. So they went from going to 340 to getting 289 for 7. Tremendous bowling at the death by Rabada and Morris. And look at that. There was belief. The pink power. The cauldron of the Wanderers. Again, South Africa's premier cricket ground was creating a magical scene. And then there was another lightning sort of break, and then it just rained. It rained so much that the game was then reduced to 28 overs, and the Proteas had to chase 202. It seemed difficult because whenever the Duckworth Lewis comes into it, well, the Proteas kind of lose. But screw that. I'm a little disappointed again. This guy keeps losing me money. Oh, it's so annoying. He got 33. Was it so hard to get more than 48.5 rands, Amla? Was it? Was it? Can you really ask yourself that? Sorry. Dumini did bugger all. AB had a couple of swings. So it was basically down to the Ginga Klaassens and David Miller. David Miller was bowled, but then the guy had a no ball. The very next ball in the free hit, he was caught. David Miller was living a charmed life, which he managed to translate into 39 runs, but it was the Ginga Klaassens who really pulled it together. 43 of 27, and then Andile Petlakwaya basically just rubbed salt in the wounds at the end with 23 of 5 balls. And India, that's it. They lost. The spinners, who were just so mesmerized in the entire series, well, they took a lot of tap. Kuldeep Yadav bowled 6 overs of 51. And then Chahal, who was basically the man of the match for the Proteas, 5.3 overs, 68 runs. Hammered. So what happened with this match kind of showed us where this Proteas team is right now. They need a plan. They just need to be forced into playing because there's actual real talent here, which I've been saying. But their guys are just, there's no application. They were forced into smacking these guys around the park. That's exactly what they did. They showed no respect to the spinners and they managed to win again. And as someone pointed out on Twitter, it's one in the pink, but still three in the stink. So they can't win the series. They can only draw it. Tuesday's next match in Port Elizabeth. But it'll be back to one of those pitches that are going to help the spinners. And I'm guessing our guys will go back into the shell. Because once they go into the pink, they become like superheroes. Tuesday, business as usual, unfortunately. Oh, look at that. It started off so positive and I still managed to find negative. The Olympic Games got underway. The Winter Olympics got underway on the weekend. And I tell you what. If you can get 1,200 drones to go into the sky and create the Olympic rings, you have won at life. And that was it. That was it for me. That moment there. The Asians have done it again. 1,200 drones flying individually created lights in the sky to make the Olympic rings.
Okay.
It was sensational. It was incredible. And after that, well, there was curling. Like, curling, it's never ending. I mean, there's like, if you go into the whole Super Sport channel bouquet thing, there's a separate curling channel.
Does it deserve its own channel?
There's so much of it. There's just so much curling that you can never get away from it. And it's actually quite a slow sport. So if you think lawn bowls, that's exactly what curling is. Lawn bowls is, well, it's the same thing. But there's also alpine skiing. And, it's Winter Olympics. You don't really care what's happening, but if it's on, you'll kind of watch some stuff. So this morning, alpine skiing is getting a good go. Then there's biathlon. Then more curling. Lots of curling. It's the mixed double semifinals this afternoon. 1:05 South African time. Figure skating is always cool because it reminds me of the ice rink. Freestyle skiing, always cool. The moguls are back. That'll be happening tonight. There's actually the final today. So the men's final. And then ice hockey, the luge, that's always really cool. The Nordic Combine. We all like the Nordic Combine. Then the skeleton, ski jumping, snowboarding, and speed skating. Oh, there's just so much. So much. Also, so much football over the weekend. It was the Nedbank Cup. And, there's still like a lot of mismatched teams at the moment. But Kaizer Chiefs, they managed to get ahead of Golden Arrows. So a good 3-0 victory there. Orlando Pirates beat IS Cape Town 2-0. And then Bloem Celtic, they beat Supersport United in penalties. It was 1-1 after a regulation play, 5-4. So Eric Tinkler and his team, they lose again. Cuck season for them. And then in the English Premier League, the big result was it a big result? I don't know. I always kind of thought Spurs would beat Arsenal. And they did. 1-0 was the score. Probably could have been 5-1 to Spurs just as easily. Peter Cech, I mean, this guy, when he retires, he's actually just going to fall over because Arsenal have worked into the bone. They really have. Chelsea, well, we all know they lost their last match against Watford. So they, third place is in jeopardy. They went down. Liverpool winning 2-0 over Southampton obviously strengthens their position there. But then Man United went down. They went down to Newcastle. Newcastle, they are a bottom dwelling side, but they lost. So Liverpool now suddenly, with Chelsea's woes, with Man United dropping points, they're looking really good for that to cement themselves in that top four. A top four which, of course, is led by Man City. They hammered Leicester 5-1. At Everton, they bounced back nicely against Crystal Palace with a 3-1 victory. In the Six Nations, well, England were, I'd say they were gifted a win. Well scored a try and they weren't. It wasn't allowed. It was as simple as that. It was just very stupid. The officiating was not great. But England are kind of like showing they are becoming the new New Zealand, because when you're a team on top that's always winning, This needs to be ref pressure. We've seen it all the time with New Zealand. Now we're seeing it with England as well. So England, very boring. 12-6 victory over Wales. Even with a disallowed try to help them out there. Ireland, they hammered Italy because that's what everyone does to Italy. 56-19. And then Scotland, they got back on track by beating France 32-26. Hooray for Scotland. Who I still think they, well, look, England are going to win. Simple as that. Some Chilean guy won the Ivy Africa PGA Championship, Calderon. So, Kompelig Smit, he had like a 6-stroke lead, but then he absolutely fluffed it around the turn, and that was that. So, Calderon, the Chilean, he wins that one. And then on the US PGA Tour, a guy called someone Potter, I've forgotten his name now. This dude, he broke his ankle. He was out of golf for 2 years. He had to have weird surgeries in place, all because he stepped off a curb. Like, I don't think he was drunk. He just literally slipped off a pavement, twisted his ankle. It broke really badly. So 2 years on the sidelines, but yesterday he beat Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, a whole bunch of other guys. So well done for him for winning the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And then Appy Bonrat, he won in Australia in the ISPA Hander Super 6, which is quite something because he's a hefty kid. I mean, his BMI is far too high. Gary Player might not even give him a congratulation message today because he's a fatty.
Oh, dear.
This dude, he played 5 weeks in a row, and he's a unit. He's a proper unit. He's got a gun to the whole deal. 5 weeks in a row. This tournament is very draining because you've got to play 3 rounds of stroke play, and then you get into the match play playoffs, and he came out on top. Sweating bullets, but he came out on top, and that is his, I think, 4th European Tour title. So, that is your sport for the weekend. A rush through of all the big highlights. Of course, Winter Olympics happening this today, as it is for the rest of the week and next. And then Proteas will be back on Tuesday. Also back on Tuesday, it is the Champions League. But I shall preview that in its entirety tomorrow. Because now Anthea is in studio. She's right in front of us. Anthea has a long list. It's a huge list of things to get through today.
It's the biggest list I've seen in a while.
It's the biggest list. That we might just bypass said by Sia.
Yeah, well, priorities, Ben.
Well, I mean, Sia bypassed us on Friday, so I mean, it would only be fitting, I guess.
All right, you're going to have to let that go.
Yeah, I probably should. You know, I actually did let it go. I was just fluffing so I could find Anthea's song. Yeah, consummate professional. Good morning, Anthea. How are you today?
Good morning, Ben. I'm well, thanks. I have a sports question.
Yes.
Can I ask?
Yes.
Why are some two sports called biathlons and other ones called duathlons? What's the difference? I mean, they're both two sports, if you know what I mean. Like a triathlon is 3 different sports in one.
Anthea, don't come here with your cleverness. I don't know.
Okay, moving on. Swiftly.
I've never thought of that. It is a fantastic question. I will look up the answer for that for you.
Okay.
I don't have it off the top of my head.
All right, we can laugh all we want, but the markets were a mess last week.
Oh, they were.
Again, right? I mean, when I say a mess, I'm not talking a Bitcoin mess. I'm talking stock market mess. Our JSE was down 5%. Luckily, the rand is still fairly strong, trading around 12 to the US dollar. But we all know that that's got more to do with politics than anything else, right? Everyone's very excited and waiting to see what's going to happen at the emergency NEC today.
Yes.
So I think you'll probably see the rand strengthen a bit more today. And what happens when the rand strengthens is the bond market strengthens. But part of the reason for last week's market correction, as we are now calling it, I'm calling it a bloodbath. Everyone else is calling it a market correction.
Well, see, the whole correction term became popular with cryptocurrencies because people were going, oh, you know, like you think on a broader scheme of things, oh, you've been using it and you know what it is. But people like to say correction because it sounds smart.
Oh, I see. And it sounds like it'll bounce back.
Exactly. A bloodbath is a horrible thing to say, Anthea.
Yeah, but last week the market was down 3.8%. I mean, the week before, last week down 5%. For me, that's a bloodbath.
Well,
I've lost 10% of my money.
Exactly. It's in the red.
Mm-hmm. But I think why we can use correction with the stock market is because historically the stock market does tend to go up.
Yes.
Whereas with Bitcoin, we don't have that history, right?
Well,
so we'll see.
Speculatory, I think, is the word you use.
Thanks, Ben. In fact, it was so bad last week that the VIX, or what we call the volatility index, and what I often refer to even on the show as the fear index, because it spikes when the market is nervous. It's like gold. People rush to buy volatility. So for some reason, the market corrects sharper than it goes higher. So it will move up slowly, tick up slowly. And then when it corrects, it'll be sharp and sudden. And invariably, that causes volatility or higher volatility. And so this VIX index, which normally trades in the mid to low teens, was up at 50 last week. And so you can only imagine some people were trying to short this. It's a difficult index to trade because you really are just trading volatility, which basically is the... I don't sound like an idiot, but it's the standard deviation, like how quickly things move up and down.
It is impossible that you could ever sound like an idiot, ever.
Oh, thanks, Mabali.
and if you do, we'll say something worse.
Well, there you go. Then it's the square root of the standard deviation of the index. All right, moving along.
Of course, yeah.
Oil as well was down 3% last week, and that's a little bit surprising because OPEC released numbers last week that showed that production is actually lower. US inventories are low, so you would expect a higher oil price. And it seems, remember, mid last year, all the OPEC countries and even the non-OPEC countries were saying that they were going to cut production so that they could keep the oil price higher. And it did actually work. And then for some reason last week, the oil price came down. But I think that's got more to do with the fact that people are worried about the global economy and just running away from assets, basically. You know, it was a really nervous week last week.
So what are you anticipating this week to look like with the whole political thing in still ongoing, still hanging over people's heads?
So I think global markets have settled down a little bit. Japan was closed this morning, but Asia's trading slightly stronger. I think if we, how can I say this, get our way with the president leaving, the rand will strengthen and the market should be a bit stronger following global markets. So hopefully it'll be a better week, Mabali. Okay. I hope. Fingers crossed. And then we have to talk about the South African style, Viceroy style report that was released last week.
What's been happening with that?
Because last Monday I hinted or I gave you a heads up that everyone was talking about this report that may be released. It was finally released on Friday. So it's a report by a hedge fund called 361. It's first of all, it's anonymous in inverted commas because there's no branding on it. And secondly, in inverted commas, it was leaked. So it had no branding. We don't know where it came from, but we all know it was 361.
Okay.
So the report was on a couple of listed companies on the JSE, starting with the two top companies, Resilient and Fortress. They own each other cross holdings as well as two other large listed property companies, NEPI Rockcastle and Green Bay. And basically, the report is alleging a whole lot of things. They're saying, firstly, because the holding companies hold shares in the underlying companies, the net asset values have been incorrectly calculated, and therefore these shares are trading at a premium which they shouldn't be trading at. Now, we all know most of the time when we have a holding company that holds into other companies like Naspers, for example, they tend to trade at a discount. The other one we always talk about is Reynet, which holds British American Tobacco, always trading at a discount. Naspers, in fact, by the way, last week was down to below 3,000 rand a share and is now trading at a 40% discount to its NAV. Back to these Resilient or property reports, and they're saying that the shares should be trading a whole lot lower. Now, part of the problem when you see a report like this with property stocks is the reason property stocks grow is because when they trade at a premium, they can issue new shares and use the money that they raise to buy more buildings, buy more assets, buy more shares in other companies. So this really puts a dampener on their ability to acquire or to grow. The second thing that they have said is that this report has said, in inverted commas, this anonymous leaked report has said that there is illegal trading going on because, and this is the big thing, Because there are BE structures within the resilient NEPI Rockcastle Fortress BE and Green Bay structures, which are really being controlled by top management in each of these companies, and that they've said that there's been excessive trading ahead of results presentations. So there you go. And there was a second report by another company that was released branded on Friday, pretty much agreeing to all of this and saying, nope, this is absolutely right. We agree Resilient should not be trading where it's trading. And so I think you'll see those shares come down again today. I mean, this is huge. Our property sector is not that big, and South African investors tend to love property shares because if you're a REIT, what does it stand for again? Real Estate Investment Trust. You actually, which means you're a listed property company, you actually have to pay out between 75 and 90% of earnings to shareholders as dividends. So South African investors love it. It's like a great dividend payer. As we say, we love cash in hand. It's better than waiting for capital growth. So I think there'll be a lot of disappointed people again today because of this report.
Investec.
Okay. You forget it. You've had enough of property. Let's talk about Investec, who now have two CEOs. So
I was going to ask that because I know two captains doesn't work in sport. What's the theory behind two CEOs? Is that because of such a diverse offering of a bank / investment firm?
No. So the two CEOs, so Stephen Kosoff, basically the man behind Investec, is stepping down, as is right. Brian Cantor, yep. And they are being replaced. Not Stephen Kosoff's the CEO. He's being replaced, not by one, but by two. Hendrik du Toit and Fani Titi. And they've come under a bit of criticism because one is white and one is black. And so the question is,
I'm guessing Hendrik du Toit is white.
That's a big assumption.
actually, no, it's the other guy, Ben. Yes, sis. You and your assumptions.
Oh, dear. So Business Leadership South Africa have come out and said, why must we always do this? They're not the first company to do this, by the way. In 2013, Standard Bank did exactly the same with Ben Kruger and Sim Shabalala. And guess what? It didn't actually work. Although with Standard Bank, when they said Ben and Sim were going to be joint CEOs, they actually said, Ben has got these skills, Sim has got these skills, and together they will make a great leader for this great right. big bank of ours. And it's a global bank, and. The problem with Investec is that actually neither Hendrik or Fani have been like qualified in, like they haven't qualified what they're going to do. And so the question is, did they appoint Fani Titi because he's black and appoint Hendrik du Toit because they then didn't want to lose him? And of course, so as I was saying, Business Leadership South Africa have come out and said, and I can't remember the exact quote, but we have to stop this nonsense because basically we're saying that black people will never graduate as leaders of big companies. And there you go. I mean, I don't know. I have so many opinions on this. I am not a huge fan of BEE. I think it undermines people and their skills. I mean, I don't think that running a corporate should be judged on skin color or gender, said the colored woman. So, yeah, I think this is a difficult one. At the same time, are we not saying you have to do something about the fact that you don't have enough black and female people in top leadership positions in companies? So, there you go.
Well, maybe you just don't want them.
What do you mean you don't want? Who's them, my buddy? No. Where's this going?
You're stepping on
I mean, maybe you genuinely don't want women in your company. Isn't that what the problem is? Is what people want and don't want?
I'll tell you in my sector of the world.
I understand when people get forced to adapt, but at the end of the day, are you changing what they want or not? Like maybe you just want certain people in your companies.
And it doesn't matter what gender or skin color they are. Or it does matter.
Well.
Okay. Is that the question?
Next time on Discussions with Mabali and Anthea, things get heated.
All right. Well, you know, there's a good point to be made for diversification at boards and CEOs, executive level.
Absolutely.
Right? I mean, like everybody knows that.
Yes, everybody knows that. But what do people actually believe and want at the end of the day is what I'm saying.
So what you shouldn't be doing is forcing people into making these decisions, but rather educating them on the fact that diversity makes a big difference and is beneficial. Should we leave it there?
Sure, I've Googled enough.
Put a pin in that.
What else do we want to talk about today, Ben? Disney's report, shall
we? Well, I was going to say, because of the bloodbath, obviously there are always going to be a few boats that go down in a low tide. And
mixed metaphors, mixed market metaphors.
I'm so confused.
How long have you been marinating on that one for, Ben? Since Anthea started?
0.003 of a second.
Okay.
But we've been talking about Disney for quite some time. Obviously, if a Star Wars comes out, we talk about Disney. But Disney are a company that are, I mean, Mickey Mouse, talking about CEOs. He will not be a joint CEO of anybody. He is one cutthroat mother who definitely is taking this company in the right direction, because their results have later been fantastic.
So they actually missed consensus earnings, or what the market was expecting, but the House of Mouse reported that after two quarters of consecutive decline in earnings, their revenue is finally growing. So yes, everyone's very excited. The problem, of course, is things like streaming, where Disney owns all these cable networks. They haven't been doing so well. Everyone's very excited about the new product, ESPN. They're also very excited about their acquisition of some of the 21st century media assets. So that should add to the bottom line. So yeah, revenue was up 4%, mostly thanks to, believe it or not, Parks and Resorts is the big earner for Disney still, after all this time.
Like,
Maybe because I don't have kids, I don't think of it.
No, but it's also, I mean, Anthea, the creeps are finding it very hard to go to those municipal parks. So when they pay admission to go there, there's some...
Ben, or you could just see the actual foot traffic going through the resorts every single day.
I would love to know what Disney's footprint looks like in terms of those parks and resorts. I mean, I have no idea how many they are, in which parts of the world, but there must be tons, right?
Millions of people go through there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one of the greatest things about those resorts is apparently within minutes of you, like I think it's 2 minutes of you dropping a piece of paper, someone would have picked it up. So everybody in the resort apparently is geared to picking up litter. Like there's no litter in the Disney resorts. Anyway, they made $15.35 billion last quarter.
You know.
They're doing just something,
let that
right?
marinate.
Yeah. And then the last thing I think we should talk about very quickly. Sorry, Sia. Now I'm really cutting into your time. Is Christo Wisser, because he has sold most of his holdings in Steinhoff. He now owns a mere 6.5% of his own company. I know, very scary. In fact, Steinhoff have now said that they're not going to be paying dividends. You know, they still have not released their financial year results, which was due January sometime, I think. And they're still investigating all the way back to 2015. We haven't heard any more, and we wait. I mean, there are banks, apparently, European banks mostly, like there was HSBC, I know, was in that list. JP Morgan, which is an American bank, was in that list, that they still owe 500 million euros to.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You don't just find that somewhere.
And
you
then
just
you
ask someone for that.
And then you wonder why they're not paying dividends, because they don't have the cash to pay you dividends.
So he now only owns just over 6% of his company, but how many of the horses made it?
No, that's Marcus Juster.
Yeah.
Oh, is that not Christo Wisser?
Let's take one man.
Oh, sorry, I've got my moguls confused. My
Fair
bad.
Enough. Yeah. Well, apparently Marcus was in Argentina in December and November selling off those horses.
Ah.
That's what I've heard. So there you go. And as many, and of course, you know, Christo sold off billions of rands, not just of Steinhoff, but also of ShopRite in December. So the man really is delevering and trying to raise some liquidity, trying to find cash to pay back.
But someone as experienced as Marcus, Christo Wisser, he must have, this whole Steinhoff thing, I know we haven't got time to go into this, but he must have known there's some skullduggery on the go here.
Ben, honestly,
this is a billionaire. Billionaires aren't dumb.
No, this is true. And so everyone always asks me, do you think Christo Wisser knew? And it's really hard to say, because actually when all of this happened, when you saw it happening, before all of this happened, what Christo was doing was actually transferring most of his assets into Steinhoff. And part of it was that he was externalizing capital, because you know Steinhoff is listed in Frankfurt.
Yep. Yeah.
And as a, what do you call them? Quad billionaires.
We don't know. We don't know those words.
Not my tax bracket, not my vocabulary.
You can't just, or in Christo's case, you probably can just carry a suitcase through the airport. But you can't just send cash offshore. So a lot of people were saying he's putting his money into Steinhoff so that he could externalize his money. But would he have done it if he knew that Steinhoff was going to go this way, or that there was trouble coming? I mean, you wouldn't, right? You wouldn't put your billions into... He's got other vehicles. He had Star, he had ShopRite, he had so many vehicles, Brait, to choose from. Why choose the one where there's fraud?
So if Marcus Yuster and Christo Wiese were to walk into a bar, would there be a fist fight?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, then we got to cut it off there. I mean, Justice is already in the studio. It feels like a traffic jam of awesome people.
Yeah,
today,
today is the day, hey? We've also got Rich Mulholland joining us later this morning. It's a full house.
I know. And then Gareth gets back tomorrow. It really is. It's like, it's, thanks, Anthea. That was Anthea with the Money Shot. If you want to catch all of Anthea's insights, worldly understandings of the financial markets and great mixed metaphors, then cliffcentral.com. She's got her own feature there, her own segment there. I tell you, he's also got his own segment.
That guy. Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Justice, hi, morning. I'm sorry to keep you waiting like this.
Oh, it was such a pleasure to listen to all sorts of skullduggery from the business world. You know, such a nice break from what I've been looking at, which is sitting there waiting and waiting and waiting. What were we doing last Monday when I was here? Oh, Zuma's going this week. Zuma's going tonight. Here we are, 7 days later.
Oh, so we've had so much skullduggery that it's 6 minutes past seven if you're listening live, and we're only on to Said by Sears positivity now.
Yes.
And if you are looking for positivity, well, Sia is here. Cassandra, yes, you did miss. We spoke about Sia at the start of the show. Mm. Basically, he just couldn't be bothered to message us.
Snap. Well, let's focus on positive things. Thank you very much.
Well, no, Sia, someone says here, I'm with you on this one, Bet. No excuse for Sia not to have sent a quick SMS to the team Friday morning. Unforgivable. Sia is back. Someone just said, Sia is back. That was the message.
Thank you. Well, can we focus on positivity now?
Yeah, what you got?
Perfect. Have you ever looked around the cities and there's still some antique old parking meters around? And you think, what are they actually good for? Well, LA is trying to do a whole new spin on those, because they're now introducing bright orange meters that, instead of just taking coins for your parking, will accept donations of loose change for homeless services.
Okay.
Look at that. So they've just installed and launched them this past Thursday, and these parking meters will be among a total of 6 installed throughout the downtown LA area. The goal is to generate funds for the Skid Row-based city county. It's called Community, or C3 program, which includes outreach teams that link homeless people living on the streets with mental health, medical, rehab, housing, and other services. So a spokesperson for the city, Councilman Jose Hazar, I'm totally butchered the name, says, my hope is that this will be a model we can use to increase donation meters throughout the city and the county. He says this program gives businesses and other entities the opportunity to donate significant funds to assist those experiencing homelessness, while allowing local residents and visitors to donate money directly into meters and know that their money will get to the right place. I like this. This seems so simple, and why haven't we actually done this? Why did it take us so long? I have no cooking clue. But they're also hoping that in future they'll also move on to accepting coins and cash or credit and ATM cards. So look at you, LA. So congratulations on that, and hopefully we can all take a page out of your book as well. So that's a quick Said by Sia for this morning.
Well, Sia, that's very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I like it a lot. Right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to get to a song, you know, just to kind of like take stock of things, end off the part one. If you are joining us live, well, Justice Malala is up next on the Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's, and Gareth Cliff will be back tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, keep the messages coming in. I'll get to them a little bit later on. So we just had an action-packed first hour, and it's only going to get better because Justice, well, he's got that sort of look on his face like he's got a lot to dish.
Mm.
He's got a lot to throw out there. So up next, is Zuma going to go this week, next week, or is it basically 2019? I mean, who knows? Who knows? Justice was just saying ever.
She has me like a Pisces when I am.
This is CliffCentral.com.